at the sound of the funky tone. It'll be one more day until hope, change, and ridiculously high expectations come to the White House. I mean, seriously, what do you expect me to do, people? See you on Inauguration Day.
Obama's our brand new president, and he's promising hope and change. And he's coming out to D.C. He gets the White House and a plane. Well, baby, you know he loves this. He's the leading Democrat. Moves into the Oval Office. You can say he's living fat. But, honey, it's not about the money, 'cause he ain't excited about that. Obama loves his new Cadillac, bulletproof glass, armor-plated doors, tires that run flat, Secret Service guys running alongside. Cost a lot of money, but it's one sweet ride. Everybody wants to go cruising with Barack in his new Cadillac, new Cadillac.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station, your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
They're hot, sweaty, and when they swing, they love to get loud. They're women tennis players, and you can listen in live at 1-900-HOT-GRUNTS. Whether you're into singles or doubles, you can be their special ball boy at 1-900-HOT-GRUNTS. Call now and work on your forehand while these hard-court hard bodies serve up the hottest grunts. Is it out or is it in? One phone number is all you need. 1-900-HOT-GRUNTS. Ooh, that was right on the sweet spot.
A United flight crew hits up passengers for gas money. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Unnamed airport sources say that early today, the crew for United Flight 109 reportedly asked their passengers for enough gas money to make the trip. The Onion Radio News obtained this onboard flight recording from the plane a short while ago.
This is your captain speaking. Is anyone not going to finish their pretzels? I'll totally take them if you're not going to eat them.
The flight's passengers decided to give the crew only enough money required to reach their destination, admitting they would have been more generous, but feared the pilots would have only spent it on booze. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Celebrity Barack Obama supporter.
Mr. Celebrity Barack Obama supporter.
Since you believe that it was your show of support on The View that got Obama elected, you now demand that filming be halted on your newest romantic comedy so you can attend the inauguration.
Yes, we can, was your idea.
After all, you once played the president on TV. So the next time you hear a Bruce Springsteen song or read Lindsay Lohan's poorly written blog about how Hollywood saved us by getting the next president elected, be sure to thank Mr. Celebrity Barack Obama supporter, a real American hero.
Mr. Celebrity Barack Obama supporter.
Hey, you're an actor. Why don't you just pretend you were there?
From high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Indeed, it's Sam and Susie back in the studio.
Hi.
Good morning. Yeah. It's January 19th, a day before the inauguration, and this country is in ecstasy, it seems.
I know. And even all over, actually, Australia, everyone was really excited about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently like 80% of the population over there, if they could have voted, would have voted for Barack.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's pretty popular, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, Susie, you're back with us.
I know. I can't believe I'm here.
It's so fucking exciting. And
Did you miss me?
I did.
Aww.
I did miss you, yeah. It wasn't the same. You know, I didn't do shows several days, and then the days that I did do...
you didn't have my smiling face.
No. And, you know, TJ was here, but he has no pussy and no tits, so
sweet.
It's not the same.
I'm glad I've got a leg up on him.
So I understand these... I would imagine that these... these tits and this pussy got you through your trip pretty well.
I know how to fucking travel. That's all I have to say.
You do, huh?
I really, really, really do.
Yeah. Well, you let the whole world know about it, and it's cool because we all followed you pretty much around Australia.
Oh, my gosh. You have no idea. I've got some crazy stories.
Really?
Yes.
So tell us the biggest story. I mean, I know you're just dying to tell the whole world.
I'm in love.
You're in love?
I'm in love, yes. his name is Daniel,
uh-huh.
And he's from England. He's from Nottingham.
Oh, a British guy,
yes. Uh-huh. But he lives in Australia, and I met him on a scuba diving boat.
Oh, nice.
But it turns out the only reason like he came up to me at first is because I was happy snorkeling. I'm not certified as a scuba diver,
yeah.
And I'm kind of like scared of being underwater like that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why. Susie, who's not afraid of anything, like finally has like a really big fear.
Yeah.
But so I was just going to snorkel in the Great Barrier Reef, and he came up and was like, no, you really should try scuba diving. And I was like finally like looking at him, and I was like, God damn it, he's gorgeous. Like, I don't want to let him down.
Yeah.
Then it turns out he only wanted my money. He gets a lot more money the more people he gets signed up to scuba.
Oh, so he was like the guide or something?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Okay.
And God, does he look good in his wetsuit. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So,
if a guy looks like he's packing in a wetsuit, mm-hmm. you've got, oh my God.
Really?
Yes.
So he's packing.
He's packing.
Okay. So what happened then? So you went scuba diving and shit?
I went scuba diving because the first time I tried to... actually, I went snorkeling at first because the first time I went under the water, I got about a foot down and I freaked out.
Really?
I hyperventilated and like I scrambled all the way to the top. And then they have to show you all the hand movements that they do.
Right.
And one of them is like a thumb going down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was saying to my friend Heather, who was on the boat with me, I would make eyes at her. And I'm like, Heather, I was like, Susie's going to go down on that scuba instructor. Yes. And he turned over at one moment and like caught me doing that. And I'm like, oh my God. He just saw me signaling in scuba that I wanted to give him a blowjob.
Well, you probably turned Australia inside out and upside down.
A little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
You're not going to lie. How long were you gone for? 3 weeks? 2.5 weeks?
Just under 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow. And, I mean, I don't even know where to start. So you landed where? In Sydney?
I landed in Sydney. But before I got to Sydney, I landed in Fiji. Mm-hmm. And so it was 6 a.m, and I meet this guy, the stuntman, mm-hmm. I told you about before. And he didn't want me to go spend a night by myself with the couch surfing guy. He's uh-huh. like, you know, you're really cool, like, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you come stay with me for New Year's Eve? And I'm like, okay.
Uh-huh. And where'd you meet this guy?
In Fiji, at the airport.
Oh, at the airport?
Yeah.
Wow. So you don't waste a lot of
at
time.
6 a.m, he bought 2 beers. He's like, you want a beer? And I'm like, yeah, I want a beer. It's 6 a.m. Give me that sucker. So we got drunk in the airport, and then I met him again in the airport in Sydney, mm-hmm. At which point he was with these 2 drunken Irish guys.
Yeah.
And so then the 3 of us went off to their house and started drinking at the beach all day. I think that was Coogee Beach, and got completely wasted on New Year's Day. and then I ended up falling.
And this was in Fiji now?
No, we had a layover in Fiji.
I see, and that's where you met? And
that's where I picked up the boys.
Okay.
And then I re-picked them up again Sydney.
In Sydney.
Yes.
So wait a minute, we're all over the place. I mean, so let's find out about this guy and everything, because obviously
okay.
This was the most important guy of all the ones you've met on the trip, right?
My future husband?
excuse me?
Why are you laughing? You think I'm fat?
I didn't see that one coming.
Are you kidding? You forgot about all my old jokes so far?
So you get back on the boat and then what?
Are we talking about my future husband?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
So it's your future husband?
Yes.
Okay, what does that mean?
I'm going to be Susie Claxton.
Really?
Yes.
And when is that going to happen?
We don't know. We haven't decided yet.
Okay. And how long did you know each other, or have you known each other, let's say?
As of today, 9 days.
9 days.
9 days.
And you're going to marry him.
Yes.
When is that going to happen?
Well, we're not sure because his family lives in Australia and all of his friends are in England where he's from. And my family is all in New York.
Right.
And all, like most of my friends are in LA. So it's going to be logistically very difficult.
I would imagine. But you still want to do that.
Yeah. So we're thinking a New York wedding, which you would love because then you'd get to come to New York.
Oh, wow. I hate when people make people travel, though, for their fucking weddings. I mean, it's like... Well, whatever.
You want to fucking go to New York, come to fucking New York.
Yeah, I love New York, but, you know.
Don't be such a Jew.
Okay.
Did TJ call you a Jew?
Yeah, we were talking about Jews a lot.
Oh, my God.
So what happened? I mean, you were like on the boat.
We were on a boat called Poseidon. And so he actually never got to take me down for diving.
Uh-huh.
Because he actually requested me to his boss and said, ooh, I'll take that Susie. And the boss was like, no, you won't. You're here to work, not chase girls.
Uh-huh.
So he never actually dove with me all day. But so I was just kind of stalking him on the boat. Every time he'd go underwater, I would try and go scubing, and then I would freak out again.
Uh-huh.
But so I finally, on the third try, I make it down because when I'm about 15 feet, I started to hyperventilate and freak out again.
Really?
And so I start telling my guide,
damsel in distress.
I know. No, Sam, I really was a pussy.
No, I know. But, so you didn't do this on purpose or anything?
No, I really was actually afraid.
Really? Do you have an issue with water and stuff?
I don't think people should be able to breathe underwater. It's just really not natural.
Yeah.
I don't know. It kind of freaked me out. But so I get 15 feet under, and I'm doing really well because the guy, Angus, who's my guide, he keeps like making me look into his eyes, and he's holding my hands. Mm-hmm. And then I start to panic, and I start making the up signal, and he's like, no.
Yeah.
Like, you're not allowed up. And I was like, don't tell me no. I can't breathe. I'm going to have a panic attack. And then that big fish swam right up to my face.
Wow.
That huge one that's on Facebook.
Yeah. Now, how big is that fucking fish? It looked bigger than a fucking shark.
It was way bigger than a shark. Really? It was probably like, I don't know, 5-6 feet tall.
Really?
It was huge. It was massive and like 8 feet long.
Yeah. So it swims right up to you?
They actually know the fish. Like the photographer who took that picture, he said that the fish actually broke his hand because he went to feed it a piece of food one day and the fish came in and just like crunched his whole hand.
Really?
Like it has a name and everyone knows it.
Really?
Yeah. So I forget the name though.
And how do they know where to find him? I mean, is it like always the same area?
Well, in the Great Barrier Reef, there are moorings pretty much all over the place with like huge, like, I don't know, a cinder block isn't the right word because these are like the size of buildings. You know what I mean? Like a big block of concrete.
Right.
And each boating company has their own mooring that they have to go to.
Right.
And those moorings cost about $500,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So there are certain places that every boat always goes to that, and you know, certain fish inhabit.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't that cool?
I see.
They have like they're friends with the fishes.
Yeah, that's cool.
I saw the biggest clam I've ever seen. Oh my God!
Really? What size clam did you see?
It was probably about the size of
not a bearded clam.
No, it was not bearded, and I am no longer a bearded clam either. Actually,
no.
No, Dan likes a freshly waxed clam.
Yeah.
So I went and had a Thai Brazilian bikini wax.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, that little fucking Thai girl just like plucked me like a chicken.
Really?
So he went to get off of work, and I was like freshly plucked, and I was like, "Hey, baby."
Hey. So I mean, but how did it all develop on the boat, or what happened after that?
Okay.
I mean, at what point did you guys hit it off, like?
Well,
we were kind of
eye fucking all day.
Really?
You know, and then he would have to put the weight belt around me so I would sink, and he would just like wrap his hands around me and he would pull it really tight.
Yeah.
And I was just like, "Oh my God."
Isn't it like the best feeling like during the initial courting process? I mean, it's like butterflies and
oh my God, it's so like intense.
That, you know? Yeah.
It really like I feel like I think I just got wet.
Yeah.
Okay, but so, you know, then it's just kind of like flirting without even really talking, and then once we're finished with all the dives and we're heading back in to shore, I decide to take off my my bikini top, and I just have a white wife beater on,
a
tight little white wife beater.
Uh-huh.
And so I go up to the top, and then all of a sudden a huge wave comes overboard, and it's wet t-shirt
wet
contest
t-shirt.
Susie. So my little nipples are harder and perkier than they've ever been and totally saturated, and my hair is just like all soaked and wet, and like, you know, I just kind of... look very like, oh, I've just been scubaing for the day, now I've got hard, wet nipples. But so then I go downstairs to get another drink from the bar, which was just my excuse to go downstairs and see him again. Mm-hmm. And then he was standing there, like, cleaning off the deck and, you know, hanging up wetsuits and stuff. And I was like, oh, hi, what are you doing? And then he was just... He told me this later on. He said, stare at her face, stare at her face, stare at her face. Because he didn't want to blatantly be, you know, in an eye lock with my nipples.
Yeah, that's what you wanted him to look at.
Yes.
But you know he was glancing, I'm sure. Stealing glances.
Oh, my God. It was so cute. But so then he told me that later on that he was going to ask me out, but I beat him to it. I was like, what are you doing later tonight? I've got a hotel in town. You should come and we should drink.
Wow.
And
I mean, yeah. Can you imagine a woman telling you this?
Why is it funny? Nice.
It's not funny. It just doesn't happen a lot.
Well, if I see something and I want it, I go and get it.
Yeah, obviously.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
So you went to your hotel room?
I went to my hotel room, and I was staying in a little hotel suite with Heather and Cliff, who are my friends, actually from the States.
Right.
You talked to Heather briefly. Yeah. Heather with the double D's.
Yeah. That was standing nude next to you.
Standing nude in my
face.
When you
called in, yeah?
Slapping me in the cheek. Good morning.
Yeah. Was she pretty hot?
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Really?
Absolutely. Wow. She's the one, I call her Chicken, because every picture of her, she's showing a breast or a thigh.
Oh, yeah? Well, is she on Facebook?
Really? No.
Okay, because we need to see a picture.
She does not like Facebook. She does not want to be, like, connected. She's in medical school, and she has a PhD in genetics, and, you know, she doesn't want, I don't know, he said, she said, and pictures of her tagged doing drunken things. She doesn't want any trace left behind. Yeah. Which I guess is good, you know what I mean? Like, people can get into some serious trouble with the things they post on that.
That's true. That's true. You have to be careful, you know?
Yeah.
And then you can set it up so it's just private, you know, just for the people you want to look at it.
Oh.
You didn't know that, huh?
Well, I guess I had never thought about it.
Yeah. No, many people are like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, didn't you ever try to add someone and it says... Or try to go to their profile and it says you have to ask for or to invite them as a friend or something, whatever. You know, so some people you can't see it until you're their friend.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
but
that
you wouldn't
makes
know that because you gotta let the whole world know about you.
Hey, if the world wants to know, I give the world what it wants.
So you finally... how did it evolve in the hotel room?
Yeah, I just spilled tea all over my
seat. I know, I saw
that
you spilled it before you noticed.
Thank you for telling me. Where did that... My whole crotch is wet now.
Really? You want to take a quick break?
No, it's fine.
Yeah?
I'm wearing absorbative pants. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm fine.
What?
I'm fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so
maybe it's not the tea that's soaking there.
Well,
you just said you were getting wet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a different feeling. That one's warm and squishy. Oh,
so I imagine you were warm and squishy when he came to the room.
Yes. Well, actually, he didn't come to the room. I ended up meeting him out first for drinks.
Uh-huh.
But Heather didn't want to go out, so her boyfriend took me out because I didn't want to be sitting alone at the bar waiting for him.
Uh-huh.
And so I made him kind of come as my buffer. And then we just started talking and talking, and I was already pretty drunk because I think I'd had a bottle of champagne before I left the hotel room with a couple like mixed energy drinks that they come in cans pre-mixed over there. So I was a little fucked up already. And then I went back to drinking champagne again, which is just, oh my God, never good.
Yeah.
But then next thing you know, I told him right then and there at the bar, I said, you know what? I think I want to have your babies.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what you told him?
That's exactly what I told
him. Okay, and he didn't mind that you said that because you're so fucking drunk.
No, it wasn't drunk. I was being very serious about it.
Yeah, but you just said you were very drunk.
I know.
Okay.
But most guys, if you come up and they're like, you know, living a lackadaisical lifestyle, you know, not really caring about anything in the world except chasing tail and like getting drunk and scuba diving.
Yeah.
You know, you would think they would run away and be like, okay, drunk American girl just said she wants to have my babies.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, I guess he knew he was getting laid. But
yeah, I guess at this point, yeah, at that point, you'll do anything, you know. Fine, I'll have you, baby.
Oh man, yeah. So the poor guy, he actually says to me, he's like, you know what? I think I want you to have my babies.
Really?
Nice. And I was like, whoa.
So it's love at first sight.
It was totally love at first sight. Yes.
Wow, Susie.
He even went as far as to put a pillow under my butt.
To do what?
Well, when you're done having sex, it kind of keeps the cum up.
Oh.
And you longer, so you get pregnant.
So you were already consciously working on it from the first time?
From the first time.
Really?
Yes.
You guys are fucking nuts, man. So now you decided right there and then. Well, obviously you didn't do any thinking about this, but you went with
Excuse
your instinct.
Excuse me, I am always thinking.
Yes, obviously. You sat there and you go, yeah, well, let me think about, is it really worth it to get pregnant? I mean, can I really handle it right now? You did not. But we've got a phone call already. I'm sure it's someone who probably missed you a lot. Good morning. You're on the air with Susie and Sam. Who's on the line?
Hi, this is St. Louis Steve.
Hi, St. Louis Steve.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Hi.
This guy really missed you.
Hi, Sam.
How you doing, Steve?
Yeah, wonderful. I'm just so happy to hear Susie's voice again, and she is an amazing character.
Keep going.
Hearing about all your wonderful stories and stuff is just so cool.
Aww.
And I just sometimes wonder if you're for real or what, you know. But I
guess
you
sometimes I wonder that myself.
No, I am absolutely for real.
Yeah, she's for real. And
so I just had to call in and wish you all a happy new year because I haven't had a chance to talk to you since last year.
Thank you.
And also, I was curious who won that bet between you two. I never found out about the baseball cap.
The Cincinnati hat. The Cincinnati Reds. I won that bet, so you owe me a massage, Sam. I forgot about collecting on that.
We looked at that C that you had on your on your cap, and I thought it was the Chicago Bears, but you said it was Cincinnati Reds, and you were right.
I was right. Yeah. So I won,
but,
Steve.
But Steve, don't you think that C kind of looks similar for both those teams?
Yeah.
Steve, don't agree with him.
Yeah.
Whose side are you on?
You know, Maybe you both want it to be a draw.
I'm not taking a draw.
No, she's not taking a draw. But but she is open. She is open to sperm donors at this point. She's she's in heat. She's ready to get pregnant. So, Steve, get in line. Take a number. All right, man. Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, I'm really serious. Somebody should write a movie about you, Susie.
Maybe they will.
Thanks, Stevie.
Steve, maybe you can do the first draft. Okay, Steve. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. All right. That's your biggest fan, probably.
He is.
That's really cool.
I know. He was sending me a Facebook message. Like, come back. Where are you? I need your stories.
Yeah. People are having withdrawals without you around.
I know. Some people I didn't even, really know. Like, they're Facebook friends of mine. I'm like, I don't know who you are. And they're like, please come back and do the show. And I'm like, whoa, people listen?
Really?
People actually care about what we say?
Excuse me. Okay? Excuse me. A lot of fucking people do.
I know.
Let me tell you this.
I know.
You know, thousands and thousands of people. I mean, I'm blown away.
I know. It's
but it's really
amazing.
Cool, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So so your reputation followed you around the world. So,
man.
So you put a pillow under your ass.
Yes.
And that's supposed to keep the sperm inside?
Yes. It's like, you know, if a girl's trying to get pregnant, like she'll, you know, the guy will come at her and then she'll go and she'll do a headstand.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, sit upside down for
I've
like an hour.
I've never seen that happen, but I imagine some people do.
Yeah. It's more of like an urban myth or legend.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you like hang upside down, it's going to stay or get in longer. I mean, either it does or it doesn't.
Yeah.
But it's just still really cute and like a precious little like romantic move. He knows I wanted to get pregnant, and so he puts the pillow under my butt.
Yeah. Now, he doesn't care about this. I mean, he's like totally game, right?
He's like, I think we would make beautiful babies.
Really?
And I was like, I think
was he drunk too? I'm sure he was, right?
Little.
Yeah, he was drinking.
But the next day, when he put the pillow under my butt, he was sober.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because I don't think we slept much. I think we just kind of...
You banged the whole night? Yeah.
Yes, all night long. And his penis, I'm in love with. Oh, my God.
You're in love with his penis? Yeah, he has a beautiful penis.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Really?
It's like what's more like a third leg.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. And you like a big.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's hard to get a big one these days.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
It's very difficult to find an adequate penis. I don't know. I don't know if there's something...
So you had to go all the way to Australia to find
I had to go all the way to Australia to find, like, oh, my God, perfection. I mean, sheer perfection. Oh. I even met his parents.
You did?
Yes.
Meet the parents.
I met the parents.
Wow. And how'd that go?
Well, he's had a lot of international girlfriends.
So they're used to it?
So they're kind of used to, like, another one just, like, disappearing. And so the mom, like, when she went to give me a hug, they're a wonderful, wonderful, proper English family. Like, every day we would have, oh, would you like tea? Oh, would you like some cake and coffee?
Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh, sure. That sounds so proper. And we'll go sit on the veranda and have some tea. And I'm like, all right. I smoked a pipe with the dad. we ran out of cigarettes and we were flooded in and we couldn't get out. And so the father was sitting there. He's like, would you like to smoke a pipe? And I was like, I would love to smoke a pipe.
Really?
And then he was like, girls don't smoke pipes.
What do you mean you were flooded in? Was that like really rainy or something?
Oh, yeah, I was in the middle of a cyclone.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's cyclone season up there. Like I really probably couldn't have gotten back even if I had tried on time on Wednesday.
What do you mean on Wednesday?
I was supposed to come back on Wednesday.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I missed my flight. I came home on Sunday instead of Wednesday.
Really? Why did you miss your flight?
Because I love him.
Oh, so you wanted to stay longer.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I accidentally got stuck in a cyclone, and then the airport in Fiji that I was supposed to have a layover in was flooded and closed anyway.
Wow.
So it all worked out perfectly.
Yeah. Now, so you call it love, and...
Excuse me, it is love.
I think it was Chase that wrote to you, it's vacation sex. It's not love. So what do you have to say to that?
Well, I had some vacation sex before I fell in love.
Right.
I had the South African Jew,
right.
Jewish by injection, Richard, thank you. Then I also had Grant, who was an Australian surf instructor.
Right.
So that was vacation sex.
So you went through how many penises? Three?
Three.
Or more? Three. 3 in 2 weeks.
I was there for 3 weeks.
Yeah. That's actually low. I thought you'd go through more.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I was actually pretty selective.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I really did not expect to fall in love. So I'm going to classify the first two as vacation sex, and
okay.
I'm going to classify Daniel as love.
As love.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were trying to get pregnant.
Not the whole time.
No, but the beginning. In the beginning.
With Daniel.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with him. Yes.
Yes. Not with the other two.
Right. And so you've done it, I'm sure, many times in order to get pregnant.
About 30 in about a week.
Really?
Yeah.
30 times.
Yeah.
That's a lot of sex.
I know.
Good.
It was amazing.
So you must be pregnant then.
Well, that I would
That's
hope so.
That's a lot of opportunities.
I know. Trust me, it wasn't for lack of trying.
So when will you know? When will,
probably
will
in
you
about
let
two
us know?
Weeks.
Yeah.
If my family's listening to this right now, I am so dead.
Everybody go out and buy baby clothes already. We might as well.
He wants a girl.
He wants a girl.
Why is that so funny?
Because I think you met your match.
I know.
Yeah.
No. But you know what? I actually have met my match. He is as big of a man whore as I am a woman whore.
Mm.
I'm not really a whore. I'm really not.
Yeah.
Whores get paid. I just have liked to have sex, and I liked boys. So whatever. It's more of a hobby. We won't classify it as anything
okay.
else. But
all
so
right.
then, so I tell him, I was like, baby, I was like, I hope you don't mind, but our sex life, the really personal details of it are going to be like plastered all over the internet.
Uh-huh.
As soon as I get back to my radio show.
Yeah, I can't help myself, you see.
I really, really can't help myself. I'm like, I have to get it out. And this is like my only outlet to tell the world. So he was like, why do you think they're called intimate details? And I was like, because they're intimate, I know. And he's like, oh, Jesus Christ. And I was like, but I have to tell you something else, too. And he was like, what? And I was like, before I get to you, I'm going to have to mention the other two guys I fucked last week.
I absolutely have to.
And he was like, what? You skanky whore. And I was like, excuse me. I was like, I heard about like the parade of like blonde Sweden chicks you had marching in and out of your room like all week last week.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I'm telling you, as a hot scuba instructor, like in the middle of like vacation land,
uh-huh.
He's got plenty of opportunity for all these hot tourist girls
I'm
to just
sure
come
it's
in
by
and bang.
Design, yeah.
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 Totally.
Yeah.
But so then he's calling me a whore or a skanky slut.
Uh-huh.
For sleeping with two guys while I'm on vacation.
Yeah. Well, that's how men view women. It's like you're not supposed to be a whore.
A slut.
But a slut.
Yes.
Whatever.
And I got in an argument with him. He's like, by design, I'm supposed to, I'm a man, I'm supposed to do that. Like, you're not. And then he told me I was supposed to lie.
Oh, no, already we've got a problem.
Well, he told
Houston,
me.
Houston, we've got a problem.
No. But he told me I was supposed to lie about how many people I think I've slept with. And
I
he's
see.
Like, and then guys are supposed to double it in their head.
Yeah.
And he's like, and men, they're supposed to double it because they're really lying and it's only half as much.
Uh-huh.
But they want to be the stud. And he's like, so I don't know what this means. And I was like, well, baby, you're the last penis I'll ever have. So, that's what it means.
Yeah, until the next one.
How many frogs do I have to kiss?
Let's take a little break, Susie, because we got to call an author who's ironically also British. And we're going to have to call England again.
Oh, I love the Brits.
Do you?
Yes.
He wrote a pretty cool book called Professor Stewart's Cabinet of Mathematical Curiosities. And this thing is full of all kinds of things like that. So I happen to like these kind of things. So
me too.
Like brain teasers and all kinds of interesting math stuff. So we're going to take a little break and we'll be back right after this.
Just the other day, we witnessed a miracle with the safe landing of a jet on the Hudson River. While the passengers all survived, we want you to consider the ones who didn't make it. The Canadian geese that got sucked into the GE turbofan jet engines and pureed into a pink mist. Who will weep for them? We will. We're BWAP, Bird Watchers Against Planes. And the next time you hear a bird get swallowed up and mutilated by a jet engine, remember that sound, BWAP. And when you hear BWAP, think BWAP, Bird Watchers Against Planes.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us, those who just joined us.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
It is indeed. Back in the saddle again.
Feels good. It feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long was the flight from there?
Oh, man. Well, I had a lot of flights. I actually don't even remember like the exact distance. But the first one, I think, was like 12 hours from LA to Fiji. And then it was almost 4 hours from Fiji to Sydney.
Yeah. Then that's not too bad. I mean, 16 hours.
Not
total,
too bad,
right?
No. Yeah. I took a lot of drugs on the first flight. Yeah. And so I completely slept. I missed every meal service they had. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I woke up literally like in Fiji and I woke up again in Sydney. thanks to my good drugs. And yesterday was the same way. From Sydney to Fiji, I really lucked out and I had four seats empty. Mm-hmm. So I got my blanket and my pillow and I stretched out and I slept for 4 hours. And then when I got to Fiji, the people I was sitting next to was a really great couple. Mm-hmm. He was from New Zealand and she was from Colorado. And she had kind of done what I had just done. Yeah. Like about 7 years ago, he was working as a Lyft operator in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And she saw him at a bar and she's like a hot, cute little thing with like her fake tits, but a lawyer type. But so she saw him and was like, I'm going to take him tonight. And like pretty much just picked him out of the crowd, had her way with him, and then they fell in love and got married.
Wow.
I know.
Nice.
What so it
nice
does
story.
Work with international couples.
I guess it does. Listen, I'm trying to dial to London here. I'm having too much trouble. I didn't realize...
It's not hard. You
no,
punch
no, but
in the numbers.
But I don't want to do this on the air. You know, it's like you got to put in a code and all that shit. You know,
that's all right.
To call through the calling card here. You think we should do this?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, because we owe them the call. You know, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to use a calling card to dial London or England at least. I don't know, but let's try and do this without.
The
much.
Beeping.
Yeah, with all the other shit here. Let me see. I'll put in the code. And so tell us something else, Susie.
Okay.
So you were back east before you went.
Yes, yes. I was back east and I flew into D.C. and then drove with my sister from D.C. up to New York for Christmas.
Nice.
Yes, it was very nice.
And was it wintry and shit?
Oh, my God. Wintry. It was completely wintry.
Really?
There was about 2 feet of snow when I got to New York.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But it all pretty much melted away by Christmas.
Plus, it's nice. I mean, you know, when you're like in the doing Christmas and shit, you know,
I know
a lot of fun.
It was freezing cold when I got there, though. Oh
really?
My God! And I, for some reason, I don't know what I do when I pack. I just don't pack anything. I still have a bag, but I have no fucking clue what's in it because when I get to my destination, I have like no clothes. And I'm like, what was I thinking? And then I freeze my ass off.
That is an invalid card number.
Go to hell. God damn it. You see, I knew, Susie. I knew it would be like a whole major
well,
thing.
Well, is your falafel I'm calling card? Is it empty?
You know, no. I just, you see, I'm trying to do this like without hearing the feedback from the...
do you want to take a break and call?
No, I don't want to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to arrange with the author to maybe call us in. On another
day.
Well,
that's what you should have done in the first place.
Well, I didn't think about it. You know, I mean, suddenly, I mean, look, the last thing I check is the phone numbers on these things, you know, because it's unimportant. I mean, it's only important when I'm about to call.
Does the email say, like, .uk?
No. No, I didn't even, no, there's no email here.
Well, how do...
Because we don't do it directly with the authors. It's through their publicist. And stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But so we apologize. But let's at least plug the book because I found it was a great thing if you're like a math fan for fun. This is a cool thing. It's by Ian Stewart, and it's called Professor Stewart's Cabinet of Mathematical Curiosities. I went through it a little bit. It's not a book that you read from beginning to end, you know, but it's... It's a lot of fun, so...
I like the one thing he has on here. I have to figure out how to do it, but how to extract a cherry from a cocktail glass.
Wow.
I would just use my fingers.
Yeah, I know. Maybe that's... Yeah, I wonder how you can do it without using your fingers.
That's the best when you're drinking a Manhattan at the bar, and you're just like, you're sipping it, and then you take the cherry, and you swirl it around, and then in front of a guy from across the way, you just pick up the cherry, and you put it between your lips, and you suck it ever so delicately as you pluck the stem, and then you chew it, and you're like, And then he offers to buy you your next one.
I see. Well, if that's the way to do it, then we don't need the book for that.
Oh, man.
I was going to ask you a mathematical thing, okay?
Okay.
All right. You're driving on the dark highway.
Okay.
Okay. And then in the opposite direction, you're seeing, heading towards you, two headlights.
Okay.
How do you know if it's two motorcycles or a truck?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, you go between them. Okay. Now, if you get through, it's two motorcycles.
That's stupid.
And if you don't get through,
you're
it's
dead.
A truck.
Sam, that's not funny. That's awful.
I love this one.
That's not very nice. Yeah. Actually, when I was driving cross country to move to California, at one point, I forget what country, what state I was in. I think it was like Iowa or something like that. And all of a sudden, I'm driving along, and my highway was two lanes. It was like Interstate 80 or something. And then there was a huge median in the middle, a big grassy median separating the other I-80 going east.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going west, and all of a sudden there's a big like gas station in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden a car comes out of the gas station in the middle, driving the wrong way on the highway, like 70 miles an hour.
Fuck.
And I'm like, holy fuck. I'm like, what do I do? Do I like hold my line and stay in my lane? Because he was in the lane like right next to me.
Uh-huh.
But there were people coming up behind me, and it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And this was late at night. I think I'd been snorting Ritalin and like drinking beer while I was driving. So I was hallucinating mildly. And then this fucking happens, and I'm like, holy shit. So I just like moved over into the shoulder kind of and kept that in my middle lane. Mm-hmm. I was flashing him as much as I could. But I'm like, I don't want to really draw attention to myself, because what if he, you know, is fucked up and crashes into me?
Yeah.
It was awful.
It sounds awful.
But what's
even more awful, Susie, is that you're driving under the fucking influence. Okay, Susie, listen. Okay, let me tell you something. Okay, I'm not trying
this
to preach to you.
This was years ago.
Okay.
Well, years ago.
Listen, I'm not trying to preach to you. All I'm saying is, okay,
yes,
this is probably the worst fucking thing a person can do is, God forbid,
I know.
Hurt somebody.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Because it's like you never live it down.
This was years ago.
Okay.
Not making any excuses, but it was years ago. And when you snort the Ritalin, it kind of acts as a stimulant. Mm-hmm. And then you have a beer and it kind of equalizes you. And then you're focused.
Yeah.
And so it really actually...
You try to tell the fucking judge that.
I would try and tell the judge that. There's actually proof to back it up.
I'm sure.
Is why a lot of people like to snort Ritalin when they go out drinking, because their tolerance goes way the fuck up.
Okay, well, good. But
and then they could be the life of the party for like 12 hours instead of like the normal two before they get drunk and pass out.
Yeah. We need to get you a fucking chauffeur or something, you know?
Yes.
And then you don't have to drive anymore.
That would be lovely.
You'll have a driver. Take you everywhere.
No, we can't be saying that because if I am pregnant, I have to stop drinking and smoking and partying.
Ah.
Oh. And then...
And you're willing to do that?
Yeah.
Really?
It'll be good for me.
Wow.
And I'll be so cute pregnant. Come on.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Okay, so you get pregnant.
Mm.
And will you get married?
We actually decided that we wanted to have the baby first.
Have the baby first?
Yeah.
Okay. And how is it going to work logistically? I mean,
I would move there.
You would move to Australia.
I would move there.
Wow, you love Australia.
I do.
Okay, cool.
I love him too.
Oh, okay. Okay, so much for this fucking show. Now, when is it? What's the timetable on that?
I don't know. Mm. It's all kind of up in the air.
And if you're not pregnant, are you still going to move there?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to see about transferring schools there.
Oh, nice.
You look like you want to kill me.
No, I mean, I have to support you. What can I do? Look, life goes on, Susie, you know?
I know, that's what you always say.
No, yeah, and you've got to do what you got to do. I mean, it's your life, you know?
I have him staring at me from right here because I have his picture up in the computer, and you staring at me from right here, and he's like, come, and you're like, stay.
No. I would never make you feel guilty about it, you know, because, I mean...
Oh, bullshit. Like, remember when I wanted to go to Australia in the first place?
But you're not doing the show for me. You're doing it for you. So if you feel that you need to move on, I respect that. You know? I mean, everything has got a beginning and
an end.
Thank you, Sam. You know?
Thank you.
No, of course. I mean, I would
Brings
never...
Brings tears to my eyes.
Oh, I'd never make you feel guilty about it. No, really, seriously.
Okay.
You know, I mean, the last thing I'd want to do is have you here and sitting here reluctantly too, you know, with your mind somewhere else.
That would never be good.
Yeah.
That would be an awful show.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, well, good. So I'm hearing wedding bells already.
No, baby bells, hopefully. Baby bells.
Baby bells.
No wedding bells yet.
All right. So you'd raised the baby in Australia?
Yes.
And what about you? I guess if you marry him, you could get papers, no problem.
Well, the
right?
problem is he's an English citizen living in Australia. He doesn't even have a visa.
Really?
He's got a visa for 5 months, and then he's got to like get his company that he dives with to sponsor him.
Right, right.
And so his parents are there, and so he doesn't want to go back to England. He wants to be near his parents,
right?
Which is cool.
Can they ask for... Do they have Australian citizenship?
I don't know what kind of...
Probably
I don't
not,
know.
Because they would have asked for him, too.
I know. I think they have, like, an extended visa or something. But because he's 32, I think he's kind of separate from his parents anyway.
Yeah, no, but your parents can ask for you. You know, I mean, at least here in this country, you know. And
really?
Yeah, if you have a family and they have the... And they're here legally and stuff, they can ask for you to be, you know, because it's part of the family.
Ah.
Yeah, so...
I'm
it's
sure
probably
he knows
there,
that.
Too, yeah. But... But yeah, you'll have to worry about all these things and think about
I
them.
I know. But here's the good thing. Before he got into scubaing, he was a logistics expert in England. And he like organized and ran like, you know, he'd get planes here, get a helicopter here, get people to pick up this over here. He would like courier things himself and hop on a plane from England to New York or from here to Romania and then hop in the car that's waiting for him and get all these things like delivered and done.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds like a really efficient drug dealer, actually. I asked him what kind of things he was running around the world.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. Oh, man. But so he's good at figuring out the logistics of things.
Good.
Where I am bad at statistics, he is good at logistics.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And you guys will both stop looking at other people and stuff? And,
I told him he can look. Actually,
he can look.
Actually, when I came over here, I was like, well, what are you going to do? I was like, are you going to stop chasing all these cute girls around and trying to nail them? And he was like, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I've never done this before. He's like, I've never felt strongly enough about anyone to stop doing that or to want to stop doing that.
Right.
And I was like, well, I was like, I'm kind of going to give you a freebie. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, well... Say I go away, you know you love me. I can feel it.
Right.
I really can.
Yeah.
And I know that you're going to go and bring some drunk girl home from the club, and she's not going to kiss like me. She's not going to fuck like me. She's not going to like suck your cock like me. And that, you know, you're not going to fit together like you do with me.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, and then when you wake up in the morning, you're going to feel like shit. You're going to miss me even more. And then I was like, and then you'll know.
Yeah. But that's the reasonable thing to do and the logical thing to do.
Mm.
But when you think with your dick, you don't do things rationally.
I know, but I think just after the connection that we had, like on every single level,
right,
that being with someone else would be so empty and meaningless.
Yeah, but how long can you go on for? You know, I mean, that's the thing. You're going to have to make a decision real soon.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I mean, if you want him to stick around, you can't, ask him to wait forever.
I'm not going to ask him to wait forever.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Okay. Now, do you think these things work when you, like, after you meet someone, you fuck them the first night, you want to get married?
The people that I sat next to on the plane, the ones that gave me the Klonopin yesterday.
Right.
I love that drug. It's so amazing. I was knocked out for the entire flight from Fiji to L.A.
Yeah.
I woke up
what
when we were
landing.
What
type of the drug is that?
It's an anti-anxiety medication that's very, very strong.
Oh.
It's like Xanax and Valium on steroids.
Really? So people abuse that too?
Yes. But it's not abusing it if you need it for a flight and like you kind of freak out and you're on a long flight.
Yeah,
and,
I suppose.
You know?
But you have to have it prescribed to you.
Technically.
Yeah. Okay.
Technically.
Right.
Are we being technical?
I know. That's just a little minor detail.
Minor detail. I think I was prescribed them once upon a time, so I think that's a loophole.
Yeah. So anyway, so what about these people?
Oh, so he was from New Zealand, and she was from Denver, and they met, and they fucked on the first night. And then he almost got deported because his visa ran out, and he stayed in the States.
Right.
And so then he went to England for 6 months, and they had a long-distance relationship for 6 months until he was finally able to come back to the States and marry her.
Nice.
And they've been married happily for 6 years now.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
And that was
they
slept with each other on the first night, and they're both from far, far away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they didn't decide to get married on the first night.
No. And she hates kids. That was actually really kind of funny. I was sitting next to her, and there was a kid crying in front of us. She's like, are you fucking kidding me? She's like, Jesus Christ, someone stick a tit in his mouth. Oh, my God. And she would just go off. And then she's like, I'm going to freak out. I'm going to lose it. And I'm like, you know, the kid can't help it. You know, I know it sucks. And then she's like, I have a dream of airplanes. And there's a glass partition.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents and their germ-infested little brats need to stay behind the glass partition. And let the rest
of us
fly
in peace.
I know.
It is a nuisance, though, you know. I mean, you know, I think if a parent is not confident they can control their kid, don't go on a fucking plane, you know? I mean, I would just be like,
So totally irritated.
Embarrassed. I mean, I'd be fucking embarrassed. I'd be under so much pressure that everybody's staring at me.
Oh, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
The mom that I, one of the moms I nanny for, had a flight back from New York to Los Angeles, and her baby screamed the whole way, and she was so mortified, but there was nothing she could do. Like, his ears obviously wouldn't equalize or, you know.
That's true, though, you know. I mean, I flew...
we know how to equalize ourselves and chew gum and swallow.
More or less, though. But, you know, that's the thing with me. I was... I had a cold when I flew on the plane a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I went for a couple of days out of town.
Where'd you go?
And up to Paradise, California.
Oh, okay.
To meet some friends. And...
Look at you, jet setting around.
Yeah, there you go. Fucking careful. Yeah, a little fucking rinky-dinky town out of nowhere. But, I had a cold and stuff, and my ears were, they weren't just popping. They were, it was excruciating pain.
Oh, no.
And I didn't know what the fuck to do. But I can tell you this, Susie, 3 weeks later, today, my ears are still popping.
Oh, that sucks.
It sounds like there's something slushing in there, and I'm going out
of my
mind.
Maybe you should clean them.
Clean them, fuck you. Fuck you.
Try putting like some rubbing alcohol or some hydrogen peroxide in them.
But you see, it's not like a swimmer's ear or something.
Well,
where
there's
water in there.
Well, there's something slushing inside, it sounds like.
But that's because we have liquid in our ears. You know, that's what keeps our balance.
Actually, let me tell you something funny about pressurizing. So yesterday, my dad's girlfriend gave me a little travel kit with a blanket, an eye mask, and like a blow-up pillow for around my neck.
Right.
And so I got on the plane to go from the first one from Sydney to Fiji, and I blow the thing up and I put it around my neck and it's fine. I fall asleep. The plane takes off and starts getting higher and higher and higher in the air. I woke up completely being choked. The pillow kept expanding as like the pressure was changing in the fucking plane.
Wow.
I woke up and I'm like, ah! Goddamn pillow is about to explode.
Whoa.
It was dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it really, really just was growing and growing and tightening around my neck. Like, I had a hard time getting it off.
You feel you're suffocating.
Yeah, I was almost asphyxiated on the fucking plane. And, like, they don't come with instructions that say danger, like, don't blow up until you're in the air.
That's true. And, people use it on planes.
That's
probably
what
it's for, right?
Yeah, and I almost get fucking asphyxiated by the fucking, you know, comfort pillow.
Whoa.
But I was a little freaked out about that, so that's not so cool.
Yeah.
So I have to tell you two other fun things that Daniel took me to do. Well, actually, three. So he decided...
By the way, how old is he?
32.
32?
Yes.
So 6 years difference.
Yeah.
6 year difference. Okay, go ahead.
And he's so hot. Sorry. But so... all right. So I missed my plane. I'm supposed to go back to Brisbane with Heather on Monday. Mm-hmm. Daniel and I are in love. We've only been trying to have our baby for 2 days now.
Uh-huh.
And I decide I need to be...
Stay longer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Keep pumping.
So I check out of my hotel and I, you know, return my rental car and off I am with Daniel. And then we go and we stay at his house in Cairns. Because before when I met him, we were up in Port Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go and we stay at his house. And he decides he's going to take me to Crystal Cascades the next day, which is a national park with this huge waterfall that comes down it.
Uh-huh.
And if you can get across the river, there's a huge, huge rock cliff, and there are ropes hanging off the rock cliff that you can climb up.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely illegal. People die there all the time doing this.
Really?
But so he decides he wants to take me cliff diving. I'm like, all right, I'll go cliff diving.
Cliff diving?
Cliff diving.
Wow.
Jumping off like 20 meter cliffs.
Right.
Huge.
Into the water.
Into the water.
Yes.
So we start walking up along, and I've got a picture of me like with the sign saying, people die, don't do this. So up we go. But because of the cyclone and like the heavy rain, like Cairns was flooded, like everything was flooded. People were dying in the floods. The river coming down in the waterfall was obviously very high and very angry.
Yeah.
So we get there, and I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Are you trying to kill me? Like, you want me to dive into that? I can't see anything because the white water is, like, crashing all over the place. Try and swim across this without getting swept down the rest of the river.
Yeah.
Because the current's moving.
Right.
I mean, that current was hauling ass.
Yeah.
And get to that rock.
And he
rock.
Wanted to do this?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he'd done it before when the river was calm.
Mm-hmm.
But so he's like, let me dive in first. I'll make sure there are no rocks around here that have fallen down. And I'm like, all right. So he jumps in the first one, which is probably about like 15 feet. He goes down. I don't see him for like a couple minutes. And I'm like, holy fuck. And finally he comes up and he's like, big gasp of air. And then he swims down to the rocks and climbs up and he's like, it's a little dangerous. I was like,
really? Why did he find rocks in there?
He didn't find rocks, but he said it sucked him under and like kind of spun him around and then spit him back out before he can get up and get air.
Fuck.
So I dive in after that, you know, just to kind of see if I have the guts to do it.
Uh-huh.
And I come down and I climb up, and then he decides he's going to try and make it across the ropes.
Uh-huh.
So he does, and he finally makes it over. It's really fucking dangerous. I can't tell you how dangerous this is.
Uh-huh.
And he climbs up the cliff with the rope. And then he decides he's going to do a backflip off of this, like, 60-foot cliff.
What the fuck?
I've got a video of it on my camera. I have to show
you. What is it with people in Australia and extreme sports? I mean, it must make you crazy when you go there.
Oh, my God.
You know?
You were so right. Like, you were so right on the nail on the head with... Hammer on the head with the nail. I don't know. Shut up with that one.
Yeah.
Everyone there is, like, into just doing extreme things.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting, though, if you're an adrenaline junkie.
I guess so, yeah.
Which I kind of am.
Yeah. And that's probably why many people go there, is for those things.
Yes.
Because it's got that reputation, you know. So you followed? You jumped in?
No, he did a backflip off of this. Like, I could not believe, like, a full, like, backflip, like, dove into the water, like, at the finish.
Yeah.
It was unbelievably hot. I mean, to see someone just, like, be so...
But you should have told him, you know, you don't need to impress me anymore. I'm already in love, you know?
It only impressed me even more.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. But actually, I asked him, I was like, baby, I was like, before I jump in and do the same thing, I was like, if I die, I was like, how are you going to tell everyone that I'm dead? Like, I don't have a phone, like, you don't know anyone in my life. Uh-huh. And he was like, I'll phone the radio show. And the radio show can get in touch with everyone
That's
in your
true.
Life.
That's true. There's a good idea.
Yes. Right?
Well, we're glad you're here in one piece.
I know.
So you did jump in?
So then I dove in, I swam across the other side, I climbed up the rope, and now there's an audience of people gathering, because it's a national park,
uh-huh.
and everyone's watching the fucking idiots that are jumping into the raging torrents off the cliffs. And so I stood there for about, like, I swear to God, it felt like 2 hours. It really wasn't. It was probably 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I've got my toes in the edge of the fucking cliff, and I'm looking down, and I'm like, I'm fucking stupid. And then I'm backing up, and I'm like, no, I can't do it. Then I'm like, yes, I can. And then he's watching and saying, come on, baby, you could do it.
Really?
And I'm like, no. And then all the people are staring, and I was like, I can't, like, climb down.
They didn't, like, cheer you on or something to
No,
jump.
They were all, like, in shock. They're really? All just like, they didn't want to tell me to jump in case I died.
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
But so finally I was like, Daniel's watching and I want him to think I'm brave. So I could do it. And I go, I scream and I step off the cliff and I'm saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, fuck.
Yeah.
And then I hit the water and I bite my tongue.
But it's got to be like the most exhilarating feeling though, huh?
I felt like I was free falling for like ever.
Really?
Yes. I've never felt a free fall like that. I mean, I guess like a bungee jump is probably the closest thing.
Yeah.
And jumping out of a plane. But but other than those two things, like I've never free felt like free
But you fall. Dived straight down, right? Feet
yeah.
first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you hit the water and then
How
you
high was
down.
It, do you think?
The one I jumped off of was probably like 35, 40 feet.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty high.
I know. Really high.
Yeah.
When you're looking over that cliff, your heart is like, is it going to stop? Like, am I going to die? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
But
Wait a minute, 35 feet?
Yeah.
That's not that bad.
Yeah, it is. It's very
for a cliff.
Yeah. Well, there are different levels of cliffs.
Yeah.
He was jumping off the higher one.
35 feet is not too high.
Yes, it is.
It is.
It's very, very high into the raging river that's about to sweep you off.
Yeah.
It's pretty scary.
Okay.
I would like to see
you
do it.
You know?
I don't think you would do it.
Probably not.
No.
Could you see the bottom of the thing? I mean, was
Hell
the water
no.
really clear?
No, there wasn't.
Good.
It
so
was
that's
raging.
Easier.
It was raging rapids.
Yeah, that's
which
easier. If you can
out.
See the bottom, that's what freaks me out. When I would go like a high, diving from the board.
When you see the bottom?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, because it makes it seem like even farther down, you know? I don't know. But
I think it's scarier when you can't see if there are any rocks and things.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, that was really stupid.
It
we
really is.
Not have
I would
done
never
that.
Do it just because there might be rocks there.
Yeah.
You know, or it's not deep enough or something.
I showed his mom the video of him doing the backflip into it, and uh-huh. she got so mad.
Yeah.
She was just like, Daniel. She's like, how are you going to get your visa and get sponsored here and like be a dive instructor with a plaster on your leg? That's what they call a cast.
Plaster, yeah.
A plaster, yes. Of course, I'm butchering everyone's accents, which I was actually yelled at about because my Australian friend Phil, mm-hmm. who I was talking about that I met in Fiji that I spent New Year's with, he was like, I listened to your radio show, and he's like, it's fucking hysterical. You know, I could not believe how funny those two guys were
uh-huh.
when you had everyone in the studio.
Yeah.
And he was like, but do not ever try and impersonate my Australian accent again. You just destroyed it. I was like, no, I didn't. I said, you're all right, mate. And he's like, I don't sound like that. Poor guy. I felt bad.
So what do you think about Australia in general? I mean, did you like even realize there's a lot of nice stuff around you? Or was it all about the people?
What do you mean nice stuff?
Like places to go and stuff. I mean, you've seen nice places, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you get anything from the culture there at all?
This is.
I don't mean museums, but, you know, I mean like...
I liked the architecture a lot in Sydney and Brisbane. Mm-hmm. I really liked driving over the bridge and looking at all the buildings. It kind of reminded me of Vancouver a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was just really beautiful. Like, everything that was old and new. Mm-hmm. Like, it had a lot more old architecture and things like that than Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like it had a very English feel to a lot right. of the parts of it.
Like, yeah, like Victorian houses and shit?
Yes, yes, exactly. Mm. Which I was really surprised at.
Yeah.
But so I really enjoyed like that aspect of it. At first when I was there in Sydney, I guess I was in kind of touristy places. Mm-hmm. I really didn't meet any Australian people except for Phil.
Oh, okay.
Everyone else that I met was like either Irish or German or Swedish or,
right.
you know, I mean, it was really a bunch of just random travelers that I was meeting at first, right. which is really cool too. Yeah, I don't know. I loved all the beaches. Is that culture?
Well, I didn't really mean culture, you know, I mean, I just meant like the food. What do you think of the food? Was the food good?
What did I even eat over there? Sorry, I had to remember that.
Of seafood?
I had a bunch of seafood. Barramundi is my favorite fish.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I ate kangaroo.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, yum.
I ate a lot of kangaroo. It was good,
but... Did it taste like chicken?
No, it's a darker meat.
Yeah, I know.
Kangaroo legs.
I'm just kidding.
And it tastes like iron, or it's very strong in like iron. Uh-huh. So it kind of tastes more livery.
Livery.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you like liver?
No.
No?
No.
So you didn't like the kangaroo that much?
I didn't. Well, it was like a steak, but it had a lot of like, I don't know, like a little bit of an irony taste to it.
Oh.
So if it was cooked correctly, and it was, I had a chef cook it for me one night at Dan's house, because the guy's an amazing chef.
Yeah.
And so he marinated and cooked the kangaroo and made us a wonderful barbecue. Wow. I really know how to travel in style.
You really do. If you do say so yourself.
I only had one couch that I actually surfed on.
Yeah, you didn't like that, huh?
No.
The whole idea. And that's how you're going to travel. You're going to stay at people's houses. So what happened? I mean, why did you change your mind?
I actually did stay at everyone. I stayed at all kinds of people's houses, but they all just ended up being people that I would meet.
Right, right.
But the first guy I went couch surfing with, he was a total chauvinistic asshole.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I would say something, and I would go to say something, and he would be like, you watch what you say when you open your mouth. And I was like, buddy, you don't know who you're talking to.
Yeah, you don't.
And then I would say something else, and he would raise his hand, like a backhand, to like threaten to slap me across the face.
Really?
If I said it again.
Wow.
And when I first got to his house, too, I really wasn't feeling good. I was feeling really sick. And so I didn't want to make Phil like feel bad, because he was like, are you going to be okay here? This guy kind of seems like an asshole. I'm like, you know, I'll be fine. You know, it's not your responsibility to be worrying about me. But I had no phone at this guy's house. I had no internet access. And he, like, wouldn't stop, like, staring at me. He would come into my bedroom, like, every, like, 10 minutes and, like, make sure I was still there. Mm. Like, I had the wheels in my head turning of, like, packing my bags and, like, hopping out the window in the middle of the night.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was that
scared. It's crazy to do that, Susie. I mean,
I know.
You don't know these fucking people, you know, and you're going to go and stay at their house. I mean,
well, he was supposed to have, like, you know, four or five other girls from, like, Sweden and Germany staying at the house.
Uh-huh.
I get there, and he's like, oh, they left yesterday. And I'm like, either they left yesterday because they realized what a freak you are, and they were scared, or you killed them, or... Oh, and this was another thing. Like, by his bedstand, by his nightstand, he had, like, 15 IDs. And none of them were him.
Really?
None of them.
Oh, boy. Run for the hills.
I know.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break because our guest should be here and we'll be back.
And I have to pee.
You have to pee. Okay, that's important to know.
Just the other day, we witnessed a miracle with the safe landing of a jet on the Hudson River. While the passengers all survived, we want you to consider the ones who didn't make it. The Canadian geese that got sucked into the GE turbofan jet engines and pureed into a pink mist. Who will weep for them? We will. We're BWAP, Bird Watchers Against Planes. And the next time you hear a bird get swallowed up and mutilated by a jet engine, remember that sound, BWAP. And when you hear BWAP, think BWAP. Bird Watchers Against Planes.
LATalkRadio.com isn't just an internet address. It's the home of irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk. We say what we want.
Is how you turn it on. This is your email. And this,
oh my God,
is the sound you'll make when you see the topless pictures of your teenage daughter accidentally sexted to your iPhone.
She's grounded until she's 50.
The iPhone.
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back, and we have our guest in the studio. You're going to have to get closer to the mic.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And your name is Lisa Marie, but not Presley. Platsky.
Yes, Lisa Marie Platsky. And you know, my maiden name was Polanski.
Oh,
so
no.
If I would have hyphenated, it'd be Polanski Platsky.
Oh, my God.
So I don't.
Yeah.
Is that Polish?
It actually, my husband's is German, and mine was a Slavic. So,
oh, okay.
So I guess, you know, sort of in that Poland area.
Yeah.
I'm sure some place you've probably traveled to before.
I haven't been, but I am part Polish. My grandmother was from there. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. So you told me earlier you came to visit us here in L.A., right?
Yes.
Where do you live?
I live in Miami, Florida, actually in Coral Gables. So Coral Gables is sort of like surrounded by Miami. It's dead center. Mm-hmm. And it was planned that way in the 1920s. Just love living there.
Wow.
It's a bit more humid, but it is gorgeous. Gorgeous. And
is that where you grew up, or did you move there from somewhere else?
No, I grew up in Pennsylvania, in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, I've got friends from Allentown.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a quiet little town in the Northeast, and it's lovely. And I've lived all over. I've lived in a variety of states and really love travel.
Really?
So this is a place that I have lived in Riverside County for several years, and I have the trip to Miami only 6 months. So
So you've been living in Miami for 6 months?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Oh, so you're pretty new there.
I am.
That's nice. So, how do you deal with the humidity and everything there?
You know,
I mean, I know it's hard.
Great skin. You know, it gives you phenomenal skin. That's
Does
what
it
I've
really?
Traded. Crappy hair and great skin. Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to have to actually agree with you because I was up in Cairns for like the past week in Australia, and it is very, very tropical up there and very humid and very hot, and you're just kind of like, oh. And I noticed, I was like, it wasn't until I left there that my skin got bad again. Maybe it was like hopping on a plane and traveling for like 2 days, but my skin was amazing the whole time I was there.
Wow. But how how was your hair?
I don't really get frizzy hair anyway, so my hair was actually fine.
Well, I have this, like, you know, I like this kind of rock star look where it stands up. Yeah. And in Miami, it just doesn't do that.
It just sags.
You know, I thought it was the hairdresser, but really, when I came back here and got off the plane, I was like, I guess she didn't do such a bad job cutting my hair.
Aww.
Yeah, but I like your hair like that. It suits you very nicely.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's very punky and spunky.
Thank you.
So, you came to us and through Lori, right?
Yes.
And so you guys are in the same line of work and stuff, pretty much?
Lori and I, our backgrounds are similar. We both were in federal law enforcement. So we made that connection, not because we knew each other when we were on the jobs, but just because, you know, there's a certain, I guess, personality that comes out of that. Mm-hmm. Professionally confrontive, if you will.
So what's that federal agent all about?
Well,
you were a FBI?
I was a federal agent, yeah.
FBI, that's what I call them.
I was a federal officer, and I worked out of the New York area when I started, so that was...
I mean, did you have, like, an office job, or what were you doing? I mean, can you talk about
it? Sure.
Wow.
I had a blue uniform, and I had a badge, and I had a gun, and...
Really?
You know, and
I did not have
an office job, so... Yeah, you know what? I used to get that a lot.
Yeah.
The hottest cop around, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
I was in military police, so I would have my gun and everything, and I just thought I was, like, super cute in my combat boots.
I did. I thought I was pretty hot, so, you know, I did. And I had long blonde hair. So what I can tell you is when I worked on the piers in New York with, you know, all sorts of characters, it was really easy to find me. So if I ever did anything that wasn't right, you know, you could really pick out the one blonde.
Easily targeted. Uh-oh.
You know? So that was the danger of it. But loved my job. I mean,
really?
I thought
it was
just
great. Did you leave it?
I left because of getting married. That's really the reason.
There you go. I'm having to deal with that too now. She went to Australia for 2 weeks, right? She's already talking marriage, pregnancy, and everything.
I'm not pregnant, but we were trying.
Yeah.
Think that was just good practice, right? Yeah. You have more opportunity to try.
My grandparents always said they wanted great grandchildren, and so now I could tell them I'm practicing diligently.
I like that.
There you go. You see. So you met a man and everything, and you decided to do what? Where did you move to?
We moved to California. But
oh, I see. Okay.
We never lived in the same state. We met when at a conference in Maryland, and he was in D.C. and I was in New York, and I got a transfer to Georgia to teach at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, and then he got a transfer out here, and I got a transfer to Texas. So it was never close. You know, it was never really close. And
so wait, distance does work?
Oh, yeah. Distance does work.
Yeah, for how long?
Oh, we did that for over a year and a half. So
really?
We did. So we never lived anywhere near each other, and we'd see each other. You know, it started out, it was like every, you know, 3-4 weeks, and then it got to 3 and 2, and, you know, and then it finally got to the point where it's like, well, where are we going to take this? And that's the reason why I quit, because we both thought we would just live separately. You know, I envisioned my life, you know, I would just stay in Texas teaching at the Leadership Development Center, and he'd have his great job in California manning the Air and Marine Operations Center, and I thought, oh, you know, we'll just be separate, you know. And then you start about thinking about, why do people get married?
Right,
you know?
Yes.
And
yes.
Kind of, you know, the sleeping together part is really an important piece.
Oh, it's such an important
Not
piece.
Only that, but you've got to have somebody there. I mean, you know, you want to cuddle with someone, you know, you need someone to talk to laugh with and stuff, and they're not there.
Yes.
You know, so then you reduce down to talking on the phone or on the internet, and it's not the same.
That's
right?
Very true.
Because, you see, I've had that, and I didn't think it was the best thing. I mean, in the beginning, it feels nice. You know, you can't wait to see them again. But then
that's
I
what
think
Skype
it gets
sex is for.
Frustrating. Not the same, Susie. Not the same.
Not why they invented it.
Really?
But you probably could get some sort of promotion on that, I bet. So.
Actually, yeah, maybe they could get some sponsorship out of
it. I think you could.
Yeah. Yes. Well, so you had a long distance relationship for over a year.
Yes.
And you finally decided to settle down really and live together for a change.
Yes.
And you moved here to California.
Moved here and decided that, you know, really what's the priority? What's most important to me in my life? Everybody says, gosh, you know, as you move up, you get the promotions, you're making more money. Mm-hmm. Then isn't that where you should be? Because things are on track and life is good.
Right.
But you know, if you look at it and you say, what really matters in the big scheme of things? I decided my relationships.
I really love her.
So, you know, the family piece, it was really important. I got to tell you, it was tough, though, because I was an accomplished federal officer. I had a great career. I lived in a bunch of different places. I got to work with some agencies and anything from money laundering to narcotics investigations. It was a fun job.
I'm sure. Wow.
And so now I go you know, I would go places after we first got married and people would say, wow, you know, your husband, wow, you're Mrs. Platsky. And I'd go, don't you know who I am?
No.
You know? So, don't you know that I... You know, and so it's that, and then I really had to take a step back and say, okay.
I made this decision.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it's mine. I own it. And I'm proud to be his wife, because at first it was like, hey, you know. And then it really became that this is something that's such a blessing in my life. And from there, I was able to then decide what I wanted to do career-wise. It just didn't. So it's so nice that life didn't revolve around the work. My identity was so... You know,
intertwined.
Yeah. I was like so stuck in there, and so then I had lost sight of really what did I want or what was my life about? Because you're just supposed to get those promotions, right? You're supposed to make more money.
Right.
You're supposed to make your millions. You're supposed to be successful.
Yeah.
So you realize family is really more important at that point. Do you have any kids?
No children.
No kids. Not
no,
yet.
No children. No dogs. No plants. No.
Good for you.
No.
Well,
no plants. So a few outside. You know, there's no indoor ones yet.
Yes. See, that was the thing that kind of freaked me out today, because I have a nice collection of plants that I've been growing and nurturing for a long time. And I was in the shower getting ready to come here, and I was like, if I moved to Australia, I was like, you know, in customs, they wouldn't let me bring any plants or animals through. I'm like, I'm going to have to leave my plants and my animals.
Yes, this is true.
And I was like, I was getting a little bit upset about my plants.
Yeah, but you know what? I did that when I moved to California. I moved out to Florida. I'd left my plants here.
Yeah.
And I really looked at it as a great way to give somebody a piece of me, somebody who meant something, because I had taken such good care of it that it was like, you know, giving my friends a piece of me. So I think that's a great way to leave you behind. And then you're actually rooted in still in the LA area. So it's always home.
Yes.
You know? So I think it's really cool that you get to do that. And
that's a good
you know
idea.
You're taking care of this and you're giving it to somebody, so it's better than, like, you know, giving them a bracelet or, you know, something that you go out and say, you know, here's a nice goodbye.
You are a life coach, aren't you?
Yeah, obviously she seems to know what she's talking about and stuff. So let's get into that a little bit now. So how would you describe yourself or what you do?
I'm a motivational speaker. That's the piece that I love most about upside thinking. I do leadership coaching, and I'm an author, but I love the motivational speaking because you get to share with a group of people and challenge them to really make change in their life, and you're doing it in a way where sometimes you sit in the audience and you think, I see that guy in the back. He's not paying attention to me, and it's really pissing me off.
Oh, no.
And then he comes up to you later and he says, that was the greatest thing. And he tells you, you know, this is the reason why. And I had such a bad day and I came and this was the best thing for me. And you think, man, that's the reason why. You can never judge, you know, what the look is on their face or what they've had going on during the day, because you never know who's really in it and who's paying attention. But
right. Absolutely.
I think that that's a piece that I love about the job.
Right. And so how did you get into that? I mean, how long have you been doing this, first of all?
Well, I actually started doing this in the government. I was fascinated with leadership. That's my, you know, where I hang my hat on. Mm-hmm. And I loved leadership. Defined really as influence. You know, if I define leadership, it's not necessarily, okay, well, here's the head person in the organization. It's who's the person who has the greatest amount of influence.
I see.
I mean, you have a ton of influence here on the airwaves, so people are listening, and it's not necessarily, you know, the person who owns the company that always has the greatest degree of influence.
Mm-hmm. I see. So you're saying that in an organization, someone can be even a bigger leader than the CEO.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, more of a figurehead.
Oh, absolutely. You know.
So what does it take to be a good leader? Obviously there's books written on this, mm-hmm. and stuff, but could you recognize someone for leadership qualities and things like that? I mean, can you tell a person?
I think that you can definitely see it before the person even enters the room, so to speak, because it does start with their attitude. But there's a great book by Kozis and Posner, and they did a study for 30 years, actually. They did the same study over and over again and got the
character
same
traits.
Results. Yeah, same character traits came up, and they were top four. And number one was honesty. Honesty. Gosh, you know, does this person tell the truth? Are they somebody that I'd be willing to follow? Are they somebody that, you know, is going to lead me, you know, in the right direction? Because they don't have to always tell you the good things,
right.
But are they honest with me?
Right.
And the second thing was having a big vision, being a forward thinker, that they know where we're going. So if we actually get there, we can say, hey, we're here,
right.
rather than, you know. I mean, have you worked for anybody that you kind of wandered aimlessly and thought, you know.
I was in the military, so forget that. So that's like, but that also, I think, goes back to your other point of, you know what I mean? Like, people that have the most influence are not always the ones that are highest up on the chain of command. I mean, the people that actually are the movers and the shakers in the military are the ones that are, you know, pretty low on the totem pole and enlisted personnel. So I kind of understand what you're saying with that.
I was going to say, you probably saw that a lot.
Oh, yes.
You probably
saw
that
it's very
a lot.
Well defined in the military,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know.
So
wait,
you started
what
this.
What were the other two characters?
Oh, inspiring was the third, and competence is the fourth. But competence, they don't define competence as somebody who is knowledgeable. They define competence as somebody who has the experience to do the job. So it doesn't mean that you have to go from the job of, you know, an accountant to have accounting background to manage accountants, if that makes sense.
Okay.
You know, you have to just have a certain amount of knowledge, but really it's those soft skills. So they talk about competence as you know, kind of transferring over. And I think for me, that was the reason why when my first promotion, I worked in an air cargo unit, and I thought, why the heck are they sending me to air cargo? You know, I had worked on a contraband enforcement team, you know, a money team. I had worked at the airport, all these other things, and I'd never done air cargo. So why would you put me there as a supervisor?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But it's because, you know, the skills that you have should be transferable. The competence has to be in a broader area.
Yeah. Got it.
So it's not so much you know, but your ability to learn.
Oh, yeah.
I see. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what intelligence is. Wouldn't you say, though? I mean, it's not so much like how many things you know, but your ability to understand things, I think, and to learn.
And your willingness.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, you probably met people in the military.
Stop. My drill sergeants. when I've got them standing above me being like, Private Raleigh, you're a stupid fucking illiterate piece of shit. I was like, I went to the most... never mind. No.
Yes, Drill Sergeant. I am a stupid...
Right. I will eat the dirt. Yes, thank you. And then I'm like, if you could define what you just said, and this word and that word... Fuck you, Raleigh. Eat dirt. And then I just start smiling and I smirk and I eat the dirt. And I'm just like, okay.
Yes, but did you ever get punished for smiling? I mean, because that's, you know, a big one.
I learned, oh, yeah. I learned how to wipe the smile off my face and have a very straight face, but they could never punish me for my eyes laughing. I have very, very expressive eyes. And when my eyes are just like, I'm practically peeing my pants laughing, you know, standing at parade rest now when this is being told to me, my drill sergeants were just like, ugh, we want to kill her. But so it was kind of fun and a challenge for me.
Yeah, so that's just, you know, that is one that I never understood, in the academy. Smiling is not,
never.
It's definitely frowned upon.
I know. So. Oh, man.
Well, that's a military. I'm glad I'm not there. So I wanted to get, you brought us a couple of copies of your book.
Yes.
It's called Designing Your Destiny, Achieving Personal and Professional Success Through Upside Thinking. What's upside thinking?
Upside thinking, gosh, that's what I'm all about. Upside thinking means unlimited possibilities in and around you. That's what it is. It's the unlimited possibilities. And sometimes crappy things happen. You know, you have a bad day, but there's always something that comes out of it. There's always the possibility of something amazing happening if you look.
Right.
And so when I decided that I was going to, you know, open my own business instead of staying in that law enforcement realm, mm-hmm. I thought about, how do I get to make a difference? And so I formed Upside Thinking Incorporated and decided that, you know, it would be in that teaching and training realm. And, you know, upside thinking seemed just perfect because so many people get stuck in the things around them that are...
Right. I like it. Sam, you need to get into some upside thinking.
Thank you very much.
I think Sam's an upside thinker. He's an upside thinker.
Well, you don't know my other side.
When he has a good day, he has a good day. But then sometimes he just only sees all the bad things, and it's like a chain of miserable events that are just, you know, intertwined. And I'm like, baby.
It's called the missing tile syndrome, you know?
Is it?
It's like, yeah, but, you know, just like if they say if you look on the ceiling and there's a missing tile, it doesn't matter how beautiful the ceiling is, you're going to focus on what's missing, you know? And that's pretty much it, yeah. It's in psychology. But I'm like that, yeah. Sometimes, but I mean, I've gotten a lot better.
He gets very irritated. He's like, I'm like,
but you know what? It's like now I do look for the good things. You know, it's like I will stop and I say, you know what? It's been a bad day, but let's see what I got out of it. You know, so I see what you're saying. You know, I mean, if you focus on the negative things, that's where your mind's gonna go.
Yes.
You know, so tell us some of the things like that. Like some mistakes that people make. I mean, obviously, you know, thinking about negative things and stuff. But what's like not upside thinking? I mean, what would somebody do?
What's not upside thinking?
I mean, how is that like?
You know, we mentioned that Lori is how I came to actually meet you
Lori
and get
Santos,
to know you. Lori Santos.
Mm-hmm.
And Lori Santos and I were driving. She had a speaking engagement. This is a great example. Mm-hmm. So we're driving along, and we got stuck in that asphalt truck that overturned last week.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. So it was a four-hour drive to go 55 miles. And a lot of things happened along the way, from the car starting to run out of gas to, you know, just a telecall that she was supposed to host that, you know, couldn't get through the lines. So it's all of these things, and you're just wondering, why is this happening?
Yes,
you know, why me? Why me? And so I would say somebody who's not an upside thinker would spend so much time focusing on that they would themselves tied up in knots, angry that by the time they ended up where they were, that, you know, they would just be almost shaking, furious.
Yeah, it's like thinking the whole world is against me.
Yes.
You know, there's a master plan, you know, to make me crazy.
Screw me.
I feel like that a lot, you know.
What you have to understand is, like, when things like that happen, I mean, it's like, you know, something's happening that's beyond your control. There's nothing you can do about it. Therefore, why don't you close your eyes, put your car in neutral, turn it off, and, like, you know, breathe or listen to some music or look for hot guys that are in cars next to you.
I find it very hard to do. For you, it would be easy, yeah. Because Susie parties everywhere. I mean, you came back from Vegas and you started doing like a strip show in the middle of the freeway.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I was stuck in traffic 10 hours getting home from Vegas, and so we had a photo shoot in my car.
So, yeah, so she has no problem with that, you know?
We got people like taking pictures and being like, what's your number? And it's like, oh, whatever. That's fabulous. Yeah.
So, you know, so for her, for you, it comes easier, you know? But I think your stuff is more about people that it comes harder to, like me, you know? And because it doesn't matter how much I try to rationalize it, I'd still be pissed off. I'm not at a point in my life where I would say, well, why is it happening to me? But I would still be with it, like, you know, this figures, you know? It's like every time I'm trying, because let me tell you, with running the station, with internet dropping all the time and shit like this, I mean, I go crazy. I go crazy with this. So, I mean, how do you not go crazy when these things happen?
See, I think that you said a few great things, Sam, because I wasn't always an upside thinker.
Right.
That's the reason why this to me is I think so powerful, because yeah. I was just like you, right. Where it was, I mean, remember, I was in the New York area. People yeah. kind of spend their lives
it's a little
being
stressful.
Pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
My blood pressure just goes.
Yeah. There's a certain amount of energy in the air that's just fast-paced. And so when you're back-to-back and you've got all your stuff lined up and one little thing isn't right, it's like dominoes, you know.
Yeah.
The whole rest of the day seems to come crashing around you. And for me, the circumstance, the whole concept of, geez, this is about, you know, what can I do to make this better?
Right.
I started to practice just a little bit, like, okay, so this isn't personal. This is not, there is not somebody out there that is
trying to get you.
That's right. That's kind of moving with my life and is out to get me. All right, so what can I do?
Yeah.
And so it's the little by little by little. Of I would say first starting with self-awareness.
Right.
Stopping yourself and saying, where is this coming from? Why do I feel this? And how do I make this go away?
Right.
And, you know, with upside thinking, I tell people that there's a bit of, you know, the neuroscience in there, that if you continually feel a certain emotion over and over and over again, all of the other neutrons and all of the other connections, so to speak, internally, physically in your body,
right.
kind of break away. And the only thing that
yes.
you keep doing is that patterned feeling.
Mm.
And so I would feel this sort of, you know, rage or anger over things not going my way.
Right.
And it took me a long time and a lot of practice to go, you know what? I'm just not that important in the world.
Yeah.
So,
in the scheme
you know,
of things, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think yeah. there was that great saying, I think it was Churchill that said it, that, you know, people, you know, don't pay too much attention, don't worry so much about what people think, because they rarely do think
yeah.
of you, you know?
That's true.
So,
yeah. I know, our problem is usually what we think people think about us, not
yes.
necessarily what they do, yeah. And, you know, this goes exactly, you know, Susie, you talked about, like, situations where you can't control and
yes.
everything like that. And I think, you know, most things in life is things that we can't control.
Right.
I mean, we're like, you know, being handed the situation, and it's like, here, deal with it, you know. And I've got to bring this up, and I always do in conversations like this. I read a book called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl.
Sure.
And this was a psychiatrist that survived the death camps
okay.
during World War II. So he was able to, you know, being a psychiatrist and everything, he was sort of able to analyze what was going on and stuff. And it started to, he started wondering why some people were so desperate that they were throwing themselves against the electric fence to kill themselves. And some people chose to continue and move on.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And he said that, and what he figured is the difference is that it's not what happens to you, but how you react and how you view
yes.
what is happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, it is all about our reactions. Our mind is just amazing. You know, if we think that we can do something, man, it's like magic. You know, everything falls into place.
Right.
And if we think that we can't, then we're still right. And so that Viktor Frankl taking a peek at, you know, what's inside the mind. How do these people think? How do these people feel about themselves and about the future and about the possibilities, once again, is right. that the people who did choose that horrible, horrible end really are people who no hope.
Yeah,
they didn't see any possibility. Exactly. They didn't see the end. And people who, you know, who actually overcame, if you've heard, you know, some of the stories that have, and some of the books that have been written, there are people who are, you know, who believed that a better day would come.
Right.
A
right.
better moment, a better place in time. And they wanted to be part of it, to create it.
Yeah.
And then to share their story so that something like that, something ugly like that, would never ever happen again in the world.
Right.
And so, you know, what a powerful, you know, testament to the
it
mind.
Is, you know, and I think you're talking about hope and stuff, and I think that's what we have, like, with Obama right now, you know, and that's why the country is so exhilarated, is because suddenly we have hope again, you know, and I think that's when things start breaking down, is when you lose hope.
I'm telling you, it's like all around the world. It's not just
I know.
Here. It's amazing.
I know,
the feeling.
Because it does give everybody hope, you know. Because I mean, the whole world really is affected by what happens here, you know. If you don't, if you guys don't mind, I want to take a short break because I didn't get to go to the bathroom, Susie. And if that's okay with you,
absolutely.
okay, Lisa. So we're here with Lisa Marie. You go by Lisa Marie or Lisa?
I do, Lisa Marie.
Lisa Marie sounds great. And we'll be back right after this.
Changed its status, and now we've changed our name. Morgan Stanley is now Starbucks. That's right, all of our fine investment products are now delicious coffee beverages. Every $4 you trusted to Morgan Stanley is now a venti iced mocha latte. And what we used to call a dividend is now a crispy chocolate chip biscotti. So stop into any one of Morgan Stanley's 15,000 locations and allow one of our qualified financial baristas to ask if you want whipped cream on what used to be your investment portfolio. Morgan Stanley Starbucks. Financial ruin never tasted so delicious.
You're listening to the best morning show on internet radio. It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back in the studio with Lisa Marie Platsky. And so we're talking about your book, Designing Your Destiny. Do you have a website or anything that people can go and check out?
I do. I do. My website is www.upsidethinking.com.
.com. Sounds good to me. Everybody needs a .com today.
Yes.
Yeah. If you have a .net, you're in a different neighborhood altogether. Yeah.
Well, Lisa Marie, I wanted to ask you about your book. So I see in the middle section of it, the middle almost through the end, it's like a workbook.
Workbook. You know, and nothing comes easy in life. I say playbook, you know, play with it. These are your ideas. Designing your destiny, you know, I wanted three questions to be answered. I found that as I started to meet people over and over again, they couldn't answer three really simple questions.
Okay.
And it was, who am I? Who am I? I mean, can you imagine?
Don't ask me that.
Susie doesn't know.
What do I do? Shit. And why does it matter?
I don't like any of those questions.
You don't like any of those? Yeah.
It's too much thinking for Susie.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of people kind of go, you know, that's how they feel. But, you know, it's your life, so you can create whatever you want. So I wrote this book so people could have a place to kind of write down their thoughts. I'd give them a challenging question, and they would, you know, have the opportunity to stop and write it down. And I wrote 12 chapters for 12 months or 12 weeks so that people could, you know, do it within a reasonable period of time. It's not something for a one night stand. Yeah. So
it's a one night stand with myself.
No, it's sort of massaging sort of relationship where there's a lot of foreplay there.
I like the way she's translating it into my language.
Yeah, now you're speaking her language.
Now it's not so daunting at all, reflecting, looking into myself.
So, you know, actually I have a girlfriend, you know, love it. She buys my book, she supports me, she's given it to friends, and she said to me, every time I get to a question I don't like, I just skip it. I said, no, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to spend a little more time on it. And she said, you know, if I don't like the answer, I also skip it.
So I thought, it's funny. Well, but I was telling you on the break, I mean, I kind of feel like this might be some pretty actually inexpensive therapy for people out there that don't want to go and spend money on the therapy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a good investment from that stance. But I mean, from my personal experience in therapy, I'm always like, just freaking tell me what to do, doctor. You know what I mean? I've told you my problems. I've told you my issues, tell me how to fix it. And they're like, sorry, we can't do that. You know, we're just kind of here to listen. I'm like, that's it. Like, come on, fix it. Tell me what to do. But this is kind of the same thing. I mean, it forces you to look within yourself and to redesign your destiny.
Yeah.
Wow.
So so you do speaking engagements and stuff like that too, right?
I do.
And do you have anything here coming up here in LA?
I do. Well, not exactly in LA. It's in Riverside County. It's in Corona. But I have a huge event. It's actually this Friday and Saturday, the 23rd and 24th. You're welcome to come by.
Well, we would love to, yeah.
It's a leadership success summit, and I have 7 pillars of success that you get in business and you do all the right things, you think, but there's always obstacles that come up. So I started to interview people and say, what does it take to be really successful? People who had achieved the multi-million dollar businesses or had achieved, you know, incredible success in one field or another.
Or eternal happiness.
Eternal happiness, yes. Optimal health, whatever it was. Yeah. And I really started looking at these people based on that health, happiness, success, and meaning. And I came up with 7 pillars. And I've been speaking on those 7 pillars. Well, I decided to do something different. And so for 2 days, I'm bringing in, it's actually, there'll be 11 speakers, and they'll be speaking on my 7 pillars. So there'll be, the first pillar is plan, and there'll be a speaker coming in from Virginia who owns Vision Builders Institute, and she'll be talking about how to create that vision and that plan. I, of course, am speaking too. However, you know, it's great to have these experts in these individual fields coming from all over.
Yeah.
And
It is like a summit, like
it
you
is.
Said.
It yes. is. Uh-huh. It really is. And a lot of fun. I mean, you know, plenty of breaks and activities so that people have the opportunity to get...
Coffee and donuts?
No coffee and donuts.
I'm not coming then. I'm just kidding. We'll get you a little bag on the side there. A goodie bag, box of wine.
Yeah, bring your wine too. So what can people expect to get from this? I mean, are they going to be talking about... I mean, does this have anything spiritual in it? I mean, do you integrate that into it? Or is this more straight psychology?
You know, that's a great question. I think that every element has a little bit of spirituality on the fringe, if you will. Mm. I don't mix it with business per se, you know, directly in there. It's kind of always on the...
You keep church and state separate.
I do. But it's always outlying. I did this presentation once on attitude, and the woman wrote on my evaluation, she said, you know, some great biblical principles. And I had to laugh because mm-hmm. there was nothing mentioned with that. But when you talk about what you had mentioned before, which is hope, mm-hmm. and you talk about kindness, mm-hmm. and you talk about, I say, you know, serving instead of selling. Mm-hmm. It's the concept of, you know, really giving to other people and trying to get them to work together. It's a completely different, I think, believe it or not, I
think that... It's the same meaning as in church.
Exactly. That's it. And yet at the same time, that's scary because we all believe something different. Even if you go to the same building to worship,
right.
we still have our own personal beliefs based right. on yeah. what's happened to us in our lives. And so I think that I don't want to scare people with that. But there's always that element of spirituality because spirituality resides inside you.
Right,
It's not an external force.
That's true. Wow.
That's yeah. great.
Well, I like this. Lisa Marie Platsky, the book is Designing Your Destiny. The website is upsidethinking.com. Can people get the book on that website?
They can. They can actually get it on my website. They can go in even into my bio and there's a spot to click on it. They can get it on Amazon. I certainly, you know, would love to send out autographed copies.
So, wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. Really appreciate it.
I mean, you
it.
Did take out the time to come see us on a trip to California, which is nice. We feel
Thank
important.
You.
I know.
Thank you. Oh, gosh. Sam and Susie, you guys have been wonderful. And I do Thank hope you. To see you at the summit. And I do hope to see some of your listeners at the
yes,
summit as well.
Yes, absolutely. So where can people find more information? Is it on your website?
Yep, www.upsidethinking.com. They can sign thinking. Up there. And yeah.
What time Sounds is it? Good. Is it all day?
Friday is 9 a.m. till 7:30 at night. And Saturday is 9 a.m. till 2:30 in the afternoon.
Wow. You'd come out totally motivated out of, after that one, huh?
So do you recommend both? Is it like buy a ticket for both days kind
both
of thing?
Days, okay. Both days, yes. And awesome. Actually because, you know, if they actually contact me, if they send me an email mm-hmm. or if they contact me via phone, then I will be more than happy to take $100 off their ticket
for
being a listener.
You see, so, it pays to listen to Sam and Susie.
Absolutely.
to all the junk they talk about. But at any rate.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa Marie and Susie.
Yes, dear.
Thank you so much for being back.
You're welcome.
Now I'm going to try and enjoy every minute of it because it may not last.
Ha.
So.
But my happiness will be eternal.
Yes, exactly. We'll all be happy for
and
you.
And you'll get a plant.
Yeah. And I'll get a plant.
That's funny.
Okay, so Susie with her I Love Sydney t-shirt.
Yes. And I'm wearing a cool necklace that I got. I got this up where I got to hug a koala. I hugged a koala.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, how cute.
I know. But so this is actually like pods, seeds and stuff from the rainforest.
Oh.
That got dried out and made into a little necklace.
Nice. Okay. Well,
Very
we...
Cool.
we
Shut up.
So she's back from the outback, obviously. And we'll see you all here tomorrow.
Listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Thank you.